minister to you tonight as the Lord has laid upon our hearts. I feel that God is already talking to somebody's heart tonight. And when I first started out preaching, I wanted to, you know, get known and be better known and get well known. And I used to worry, afraid that this preacher might not like my preaching, and that one might not like my preaching, or this somebody back there might not like my preaching. But I quit preaching for people.
Amen.
And I started preaching for the Lord. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, your soul is more important to me than anything else. If you'll come tonight and give your heart to God, it doesn't matter if no one says, "Brother Rich, that was good preaching," just as long as I'm seeing something accomplished. Brother Rick Pollock, a friend of mine that's out of the church where I pastored, a young preacher, he told me here a while back I was preaching, he said, "Boy, you sure was a pulling." I said, "Rick, I don't mind pulling at all if I can move the load." Amen. And that's right. I don't mind it if I can move the load. Praise the Lord. So you help me tonight while I minister to you from the Word of God. Brother Sosa touched on these lines last night. And after he got through preaching, I told him, I said, "Brother Sosa, the Lord had laid that scriptures on my heart as a preacher in this camp meeting. And so in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." We're not trying to improve on Brother Sosa's message, just adding to it from the Word of God. If you have your Bibles tonight, would like to look with us, I'm going to be reading in several places, but I shall take my text from Isaiah 9, verse 18. The writer says in Isaiah 9, verse 18, "For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother." Then I'd like to go into the book of Genesis for just a moment. Genesis 19. Look with us there, a familiar portion of Scripture. As you know, Lot had settled down in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his faithful uncle Abraham had prayed that God would deliver him out of that city before God brought destruction. And God sent angels down, and notice in verse 15 of the 19th chapter, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his head, and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord be merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay down all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast shewed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither. For I cannot do anything until thou be come thither. Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. The sun was risen up on the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham got him up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain. Beheld and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. That'll be as far as I'll read there. One other verse of scripture found in Exodus, the 22nd chapter, then we'll endeavor to preach. Exodus 22, verse 6. Exodus 22, verse 6. The writer's let your fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith. He that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. He that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. I am preaching tonight on this subject. Are you living too close to the fire? Are you living too close to the fire? The writer said that wickedness burneth as the fire. Brother Sosa brought out many points last night and likened sin unto fire. There is no doubt about it. God in his Bible, in his holy word, he used fire as an example of the devastating effects of sin. The Bible said, amen, that wickedness burns as the fire. Something about fire is exciting. I've wondered at different times what was the greatest excitement in heaven and what's been the greatest excitement in earth. I have no way of proving it, but I feel that when Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and angels came and declared his birth and cried out, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men was one of the greatest times that's ever been on the face of the earth. But my mind goes back to the Garden of Eden, where God created a sanctified Adam and a sanctified Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden and gave them a mind and a will of their own. Gave them the freedom of choice, Brother Butler. Amen. Told them you can partake of every tree that's in this garden. But of that one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, you shall not partake of that tree, lest when you partake of it, you die. The Bible tells us that Eve was first in her transgression, and she partook of that forbidden fruit, and she gave to her husband Adam. And he did eat, and he partook of that fruit. I have no way of proving this, but somehow I feel like an alarm was sounded in heaven. And somebody spread the news to the celestial city. Fire of sin has broken out down on the earth. Have you heard that fire of sin has broken out? And Eve has partaken of that forbidden fruit and given to her husband Adam. And he's partaken of that fruit. I have no way to prove this, but I believe that it caused excitement in heaven when that holy Adam fell in transgression and that holy woman fell, amen, from the grace of God. But the fire of sin did not stop there. It burned out of the Garden of Eden, and it wasn't long until it was burning in the home of Adam and Eve and their children. it wasn't long until the consequences of Eve's sin began to show up in her offspring. And you know the story. Amen. That wicked Cain slew that righteous Abel, his brother. And I'm sure that Eve's heart was saddened when the news came back to her. The fire of sin has devoured one of your sons. And Cain has slew that righteous Abel because of jealousy in her heart, in his heart. But that is not the end, my brothers and sisters. That fire, even though it broke out in the Garden of Eden, it has swept across every nation. It has covered every tribe and every people. And it has reached down into 1983. And right here in the city of Savannah, the effects of that fire that started over in the Garden of Eden is burning in this place right this night. All you have to do is drive down the streets, or sometimes, like I did yesterday, just look out from the church parking lot, and I could see the fires of sin that was burning. You see, amen, there is no limit to fire. Who can say that fire will burn to this place right here and then fire will stop? Nobody can draw a line. Fire has a way of moving over boundaries, crossing lines, and sometimes even those that try to burn control fires soon find that their fire has got out of control. And who among us can say we will commit certain sins, but other sins we will not commit? For you see, once the fire of sin begins to burn in the bosom of a man or a woman, boy or girl, it knows no boundaries. It moves even as swept by a wild whirlwind, and it burns and it consumes and it crosses borders, until those that are taken up in the fire of sin soon find that it has crossed all of their boundaries and they're doing things that they said they would never do. Listen to me. Amen. Fire leaves its mark. Nobody has to tell me when I drive by a forest that's been on fire. Nobody has to say, Brother Rich, look, the forest has been on fire. It has left its mark, amen, upon the forest. And nobody has to tell me that sin is burning in this nation. All I have to do is look at the crowded prisons, the insane asylums, the broken homes, read the statistics of sin, and I have to conclude, brother, that the fires of sin is burning in our hour, and it's burning in our day. Amen. Fire has no respect of person. It would just as soon burn that $1 million shack, that $1 million mansion, as that old shack by the side of the road. It has no respect of person. And the fires of sin would just as soon rob the preacher's daughter of her virtue, amen, as the bartender's daughter. Amen. It has no respect of person. Amen. Sin has no respect of person in any way. Just because you were born into a family that may have been a middle class or upper class, it does not exempt you from sin. Just because you came into this church and been raised in this church, it does not exempt you from sin. If you go to mooling around too close to the fires of sin, my brother, if sin will take a hold of your life, then the good things about you will soon be devoured by the power of sin. James said in James 3 and 5, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I can take one match and destroy this whole building. One little match and destroy this whole building. And you let one sin come into this church and stay with me now. You let one sin come into this church and that sin is not reproved. That sin is not put out. It's like starting a little fire down by this pulpit and letting it burn. It'll soon destroy the holiness and the righteousness that's in this place. And the worldliness of sin will consume your righteousness. And you'll find yourself lost without the Spirit and the power of God. Hear me now. That's why you preach holiness. Hear me now. Amen, Brother Sosa. brought out firemen. Well, let me tell you something, brother. If I was running the fire department, managing the fire department, and you come down and I hired you as a firefighter, if you heard the alarm and you refused to fight fire, amen, I'd fire you and send you home. Now, you may not agree with this, but I believe it, that every preacher that will not stand against sin and fight the fires of sin ought to be fired from his job and sent out to dig a ditch or something else. Brother, how can we look at the results of sin and not fight against sin? I want you to know I'm a firefighter. I hate sin. I see what it's doing to our nation. I see how it's consuming our youth. I see how it's taking down the principles that our nation was founded upon. Brother, I'm afraid that we're getting too close to the fire, even as a church. I have a niece. I love my niece. My cousin, rather. She's the same age I am. 1 year younger, if you please, pardon me. 1 year younger than I am. And my little cousin, she cannot walk. There's a reason why she cannot walk. She does not have any feet. That's why she cannot walk. And the reason she does not have any feet, when she was just an infant child in the old farmhouse in Oklahoma, on an early spring cool morning, her mother built a fire in the fireplace and set her back what she thought was a safe distance in a little bassinet, a safe distance to keep her warm. My aunt went out to hang clothes on the line. That was before the days of washers and dryers. And somehow that little infant began to twist and turn that bassinet over. And when her mother found her, both feet had been consumed by the fire. I've never heard my cousin complain. She seems to have a wonderful personality. But you cannot tell me there are times when my cousin thinks about her incident and her accident, and she probably says in her mind, if mother hadn't left me so close to the fire, I might could have walked today like others walk. Oh, I see these little girls that have sold out their virtue. I see these young men that sin has taken its toll on. I see young men buying alcohol and beer, children hooked on drugs and narcotics. Oh, we'd like to point our fingers at the children and say, look what this generation is doing. But I'm afraid too many mothers and fathers have raised their children too close to the fires of sin, too close to the consuming, amen, devastating effects of sin. Listen to me, mother. Listen to me, daddy. If you raise that son and daughter in the front of that television set, amen, where sin and its mighty, mighty acts of ungodliness and violence, amen, if they see that day after day, amen, you can't blame them. If they go out into the world, you are the one to blame. You raise them too close to the fire. And while I'm right here, a lot of mamas can't only wait till their little girls grow up. Oh yes, I'm a holiness preacher, so just stay with me. They can't hardly wait. They want to get them a little paint powder on them. Amen, get them fixed up. They can't hardly wait for them to grow up. They push them out. And then when that girl goes bad, we want to blame that girl. Mama, I'm here to tell you, if you put those shorts and those tight breeches on those girls and they lose their virtue, you'll have to make restitution. You started the fire. You started the sin in their life. And wickedness burns as a fire. I'm preaching tonight on wickedness burns as a fire. Are you living too close to it? Oh, God. Oh, Lord. You a Sosa boy? No, where's one of them Sosa boys? Send him. Come here, son. Brother Sosa, listen to me. Listen to me. If I'm around where there's a big fire, and you're not there, and I see your little boy, and he's getting up close to that fire, are you going to get upset at me if I say, now, son, you better get back away from that fire. That fire's going to burn you, son. Stay back. After a while, I look back around, and he's back up here again. I say, now, son, I told you a while ago, you're getting too close. That fire's not going to get a hold of your clothes. And you're not going to be caught on fire. You better move back. And I'm moving back. Now, you stay away from that fire. And I look around, and after a while, he's back up there again. Brother Sosa, if you've got any sense at all, you won't get upset at me if I say, son, I said, get away from that fire and don't get back around that fire no more. When the next time you see me, you'll say, Brother Rich, I appreciate you for keeping my son away from the fire. When good men like Brother Butler and others try to keep your children out of the fires of sin, brother, amen, don't get upset. You should have preached.
Don't stand with me.
The fire, fire has got into the lives of your family and your children, brother. It's hard to get put out. Are you living too close? Too close to the fire of sin. Have we got a 12-year-old boy here? How old are you, son? Have we got a 12-year-old boy here? Look here. I've talked to a little 12-year-old boy. Brother Moore, I'll not give you his name because you know him. But his parents called me. Said, Brother Richie's in trouble. I said, what's wrong? Said he's on dope. And he's been stealing. And they want me to talk to the boy. Listen to it. Listen to it. And I went to talk to him and I said, son, how'd you get started on this? And the story he told me broke my heart. He said there was a man came out on the school ground one day, called us aside, and said, son, got something I want to give you. And he gave me my first hit free. Made a date, said, you like that, be back here, and I'll give you some more at a certain day. Said, I liked it, I went back, and he gave me my second hit free. Made another date, and I went back a third time, and he gave me my third hit free. And then he gave me another time. By this time, I was liking the effects of it, and he gave me my fourth hit free. Made another date, said, meet me here at a certain time. Said, I went back after my fifth hit. And he said, no more freebie, son. This was going to cost you. You got to go come up with some money. And now, the fires are burning. And I read to you, if fire break out in the standing corn or in the fields of corn, listen to it, and it consumes the corn or the standing corn or the shocks of corn, the one, he that kindled that fire, shall surely make restitution. Now that boy will have to pay for his wrongdoing. But oh, that man that started that fire in that young man's life, I'd hate to be in his place when he stands in the judgment of God. Oh, brother, are you living too close to the fires of sin? Are you there, young people, around close by the fire? Let this preacher tell you tonight, get away from that fire. Can I throw in just one thing that might be a little bit off the lesson? Have the home church. Some of you that cannot control your tongue, some of you that's always trying to get a hold of a little loose tale or loose gossip, if you start a tale in this church and it causes trouble, others may spread it all over the country, but the one that kindled that fire, my brother, is going to have to make restitution. Amen. For that fire that was started, it only makes sense, brother, if you come over around my place camping and you build your campfire, and it gets out and burns one of my little buildings. Amen. Don't go down to the neighbor down on the other side. Are you the man that kindled this little fire?
Yes, sir.
How come you didn't put that fire out? I don't know. Just neglect to let it go. Let it go. I knew it should have been put out, but just let it go. Well, sir, you are responsible for burning this building down. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of problems caused in the church, and a lot of folks, they don't want to shoulder their responsibility. They like to get things started and then let somebody else bear all the responsibility of the problems that started. But I'd like to tell you, if you're a gossiper, amen, if you're one that likes to talk loose talk, you better be careful. Amen. If damage is caused to this church, amen, by your loose tongue, you have to make restitution and give account to God in the day of judgment for the souls that was lost because of the problem that your tongue caused in the church. Well, I don't guess you knew you was getting somebody like this, did you? But I'm preaching tonight, amen, on wickedness, and sin burns as the fire. And are you living too close to the fire? In our text tonight, Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Terrible place, Brother Moore. Just like our nation today. Oh, I don't want to get into that tonight, but my soul is so upset. Amen. By the laxity and the permissiveness, the spirit that's in our nation today concerning homosexuals and those others of loose morals, that it stares at my heart. It almost breaks my soul since I've got children growing up and grandchildren coming up in such a society. But Lot was down there with his children in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story. Abraham interceded with God. Had it not been for faithful Abraham's prayers for the end field, Lot would have perished there. But he had a father or an uncle that was praying, saying, "Oh God, spare my nephew Lot. If you must wipe it out, please spare Lot down there." And God sent angels down, and they took hold of Lot's hand, and they led him and his wife and his two daughters out of that city. And he said, "Escape to that mountain, and don't you look back. Don't do it." But like that compromising spirit that's among many of our church members, God was good enough to send angels down. He was good enough and merciful enough to send deliverance. It looks like Lot would have said to his wife and daughters, "You heard the angel. Let's run to the highest mountain. Let's get to the highest place of safety." But instead, a compromising spirit gets a hold of Lot. And he said, "Lord, don't make me go to the mountain. There's a little city over here called Zoar. Let me just stop right there. Amen. Let me just live right there." And so God finally accepted him and said, "All right, if you want to stay in Zoar, I'll let you stay in Zoar." The Bible tells us that the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone down and destroyed them all. And as the sun was setting, Lot went into the city. As the sun was coming up, Lot went into the city of Zoar. When he looked down the next morning over all the plains, he saw the fire. He saw the smoke belching out of the plain. And he looks over to his daughters and he said, "Up. Let's get to the mountain." For the Bible said he feared to dwell in Zoar. Amen. There's a reason for him fearing to dwell there. I believe he felt like he was still just a little too close to the fire. And so he began to run to the highest mountain. It looks like after God had saved us out of sin, delivered us out, we would run to the highest place of safety. We wouldn't want to be back down there around the fires of sin. You can call me a fanatic if you want to. You can laugh and talk about my stand for holiness. You can say all kinds of manner of things against me. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, Brother Butler. I'm going to run to the highest mountain. I'm going to climb to the highest place of safety. I'm going to get as far away from the fires of sin as I can. Let sin consume me. Let the fires of sin overtake me. And I find my soul losing out for God and sin devouring my holiness that God has given me. Too close to the fire. Yes, sin in the church never reproved. If every preacher across this nation would go to their pulpit and reprove sin, it would start a revival in this nation, even that the fires of the devil could not stop. But there is one way of fighting fire. How many's ever heard of backfire? Amen. You go out ahead of the fire and you start another fire. And you backfire that fire into this other fire. And when them two fires meet, amen, that one has got to burn out. And I'd like to tell you one night, as sin raged in my soul and burned in my bosom, I came down to an old-fashioned altar and I found another kind of fire, amen, that put the fire of sin out. And the Holy Ghost in fire is burning in my soul tonight. And as long as I keep it burning on the altar of my soul, brother, sin cannot take a hold of me. I'm going to try to close here just a little bit. But oh, if you don't think sin has burned out of control in our nation today, USA, in 1982, underground organized crime did $150 billion enterprise of business. $150 billion. Tax-free. Tax-free. Listen to me. 30 million sex magazines are printed in this country every month and read by one-third of the population of the United States of America. Oh, God. Over 1 million illegitimate births a year here in this nation. And since they have legalized abortion, and that's what we're paying for, but those that we have records of, is a close to 9 million abortions that we have paid for besides those that have been done undercover. Are you listening? I'm telling you, sin is burning like a fire. Approximately 4 million cases, new cases, of venereal diseases was reported in the United States of America in 1982. 4 million. 4 million. Listen. Over 20 million confessed alcoholics. Over 21 million homosexuals, and some of them in our White House, if you please, put there by the vote of the people. Oh, God. And I guess more shocking than all of this, in 1960, we had 1.25 million divorces filed in the United States. In 1982, we had 11.25 million divorces filed in the United States of America. And then somebody says, preacher, why preach against sin? Why not preach love and mercy and kindness? Let me tell you this. The preacher that'll try to put the fire of sin out in the lives of your family and yourself is the greatest preacher you have and the one that loves you the most. Oh, God. Too close to the fire. Some time ago, and some of you may laugh at this, but some time ago, someone wanted me to go down to Six Flags with them. And I said, well, I just don't go there. Well, why, Brother Rich? Well, I'm going to tell you this much about it. You can go if you want to, but it's just a little too close to the fire for me. Amen. I said it's just a little too close to the fire for this man. I'm afraid something over there might get a hold of me. Oh, brother, fire requires our utmost attention. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Why do you think 7-Eleven and all your quick stop stores here in Savannah, when you walk in, you're faced with pornography and obscene and filthy books? The devil trying to start a little fire. It may be a good married man, amen, dedicated to his family. But if the devil can start a little fire of lust in that man's heart, he'll break up that home. Say, Brother Rich, it'll never happen. It'll happen, brother. Once fire has been kindled, it burns. As long as there's anything to burn, it will burn. Well, the powers told this story. Amen. He said that some men were coming along, and maybe a forest ranger, and they saw as they drove up a truck that was on fire. And they, well, something's happened. Look, the fire's, the truck's on fire. And they got to looking around, and out in the woods, evidently a man had ran out of gas, come back and tried to prime his car and start it. Somehow the gasoline must have spilled on his clothes, and it ignited. They looked out in the woods, and they saw something looking like a human torch running through the woods, saying, "Somebody please put the fire out! Somebody please put the fire out!" They grabbed a canvas or something and ran and tackled the man, rolled him up, finally got the fire smothered out. They said all the way to the hospital, he was crying, "Somebody, please put the fire out." He died, if I understand the story right. He died there in the emergency room. And the last words he spoke was, "Would somebody please put the fire out?" But that's not the last. If that man went into hell, he'll spend forever crying, "Would somebody please put the fire out?" But the fire is not going to go out, because Jesus said hell was a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Revel in your sins if you want to. Let the fire of sin burn in your bosom if you want to. But someday you'll be crying, "Would somebody please put the fire out?" Once the fire has burned out of control, there's no way to stop that fire. Oh, I'm preaching to you tonight from my soul. Somebody needs for the fire to be put out tonight. Are you listening to me? Now, if a house is burning, there's two ways. If there's victims in that fire, there's two ways to rescue that victim. Jude said, on some having compassion, and others stayed with fear, pulling them out of the fire. One way you can do it, if the fire hasn't burned too long, you can put the fire out. But if the fire has burned out of control, and there's somebody still inside that fire, there's only one way. You must be willing to take the fire uniform, whether it's asbestos or whatever, and go right in among the flames. Oh, somebody said, "I'd love to ride on that fire wagon. I'd love to ring the bell and blow the siren. But how would you like to go in among the fire?" And someone said, "I'd like to be a holiness preacher." Amen. And have all of that glamour. Amen. Of being right out in front. Yeah, but how would you like to go right over where folks are living in sin and look them right in the eye and reprove sin, even though you know that your offering's going to be cut off? They may leave the church and go somewhere else. But as a faithful fireman, you must do your best to rescue the victim from the fire. I must be honest. All of my preaching against sin
will never stop the fires of sin. It's already burned out of control. I can preach as long as I want to preach, and every other holiness preacher can preach as long and as hard against sin as you can preach. We'll never stop the fires of sin. Say, what's the alternative? Only one. We must be willing to take this black-back, sin-killing, devil-driving book and go right in among the fires of sin and preach this everlasting gospel and say, oh, wayward boy, oh, wayward girl, Baba, Daddy, that's too close to the fire, won't you come to a place of safety? Won't you come to a highway where the fires of sin cannot reach you? Are you understanding what I'm preaching tonight? Are you living too close to the fire? In Norman, Oklahoma, I had a good group of young people. I loved every one of them. Still do. Had a precious young girl that came there with her mother. Amen. And never had no problems out of Vicky. She set the standard for our girls in the church on dress. Not one time did I ever have to reprove her for anything in her life. Never had to reprove her for her mode of dress. She always dressed as become of holiness. As a matter of fact, she seemed to be the cream of the crop. But because she reached about 23 years old and still didn't have a boyfriend, she decided maybe she could play around the fire a little bit, get her a husband, and then get back into the church. Oh, let me tell you about her. She left the church. Brother, it didn't take long. Word got to me. We was in a restaurant one day with them, and a man was smoking. She said, Sister Rich and I and her mother said, let's move from here. That smoke spotted me. But just a little while, and she's smoking those cigarettes herself. Then in a little while, she was drinking alcohol. Fire of sin had gotten started. Wasn't long till she was living with a man out of wedlock. The fires of sin burning. First thing you know, she married a man, left him, lived with another man, moved from the country, and went into another city, Houston, Texas, I believe. The last we heard, sin had burned so great in her life. Sister Rich read the letter, said, oh, I'll never get back to God. I've gone too far. I'll probably never get back. Had the Holy Ghost shouted, come to Amosville, Brother Sosa, and shouted there in the camp meeting, you may remember. But oh, I don't care how good of experience you have. Once that little bit of fire of sin gets to burning in your life, it'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your holiness. It'll strip you of your character. And it'll leave you without anything. I'm trying to close now. I know I'm preaching too long, but I'm afraid too many are living too close to the fire. Not only young people, but brother, a lot of older people today are living too close. Brother, they're picking up things that they one time laid down. They're putting their approval on things for their children and grandchildren that they used to stand against. You're living too close to the fire of sin. Oh, God, hear me tonight. If I was you here, and I was here tonight unsaved, I'd run to this altar. I'd get away from the fire. If I'm living around the borderline, some of you can feel the heat of sin around you. You're that close to the fires of sin. You better run to the place of safety. I was living in California. There was a family that moved in, built a new home across the street and moved in. I saw them a time or two. One night after they moved in, I went over and talked to them. The man was sitting on the couch drinking a can of beer. And I told him we'd like to have him at the church to come and visit us. And that man started crying. I said, what's wrong, sir? He said, I used to be a deacon in a holiness church. What happened, sir? got to making big money, kind of neglected the church, moved to a new area where I could make more money, stopped going to church and got to fool around with the men on the job. The fires of sin got a hold of him. Here he is, a backslidden deacon. Amen, away from God. About that time in come a lady, her hair bobbed off. Amen, painted kind of a purple color. Amen, ear bobbed hanging on her ears. And he looked over with tears in his eyes and said, "Brother Rich, my wife there would like to introduce you to her. Said she used to be a Sunday school teacher and was a good one, teaching the little children, one of the best. But now the fires of sin has her. She's busy with her social clubs, rattling the cocktail glasses." Coming out of the bedroom came a young man just about the size of Brother Gary Edenfield. They introduced me to their only child, Leland. Said, "Here's our son." I invited them all to go to church with me. The dad said, "No, the mother said she didn't have time." The young man said, "I'll go with you." And Leland went. Surrendered his life to God. Brought his guitar and played and did good for a while in the church. He'd go home and beg his daddy and beg his mother, "Please go with me to church." But they didn't have time for him. Didn't have time for church. Living too close to the fires of sin. Gary, after no encouragement from home, after about 4 months of coming to church, listen to me, this young man, after about 4 months of coming to church, Leland, he looked one day and he told my brother, said, "There's no use of me trying. Mama won't help me. Daddy won't come with me." And so he dropped out of church. He'd come on Sunday mornings, but he dropped out. Wasn't long until somebody told me, said, "Have you heard about Leland, the boy that used to come to the church there? He's playing his guitar. Down here at the Peppermint Twist, the rock and roll dive for teenagers. So he's playing his guitar right there." I said, "Not Leland." "Yes, Leland." The fires of sin was burning. Wasn't long till one of the young men that I knew who was not a Christian said, "Remember the boy that used to come to your church?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Last night," said, "he may have lost his job." Said he was drinking and fell off of the platform where they had the musicians playing. Sin was burning. He rolled in one day with a brand new Grand Prix Pontiac and called me and said, "Brother Rich, come and look at my new car." I went over and looked at it. And I said, "Leland, can you afford it?" He said, "Sure I can afford it. Making good money. Payments are not that much. I can afford it." I said, "Son, can you really afford it? It's costing you more than what you think it's costing you. It's costing you more." Oh, but the fires of sin was burning. And then word came to me, "Soul Sandy, Leland is on narcotics." His mother met me one day and said, "Have you heard about Leland, my son?" I said, "No." Said, "He's going to be a movie star. He took screen tests. They like him. He's going to play a minor part in some movies. If the public goes for him, he'll be a star." Leland never did. He took his screen test, but he never did play in the first film. One night, as the fires of sin was burning, he began to mix alcohol with narcotics. Came home one night to that beautiful home just a few days before he was to go to make his first movie. Came in under the influence. Took a .30-06 deer rifle off the wall. Put it to his own head. And under the influence of narcotics, sin had finally taken its toll. And he laid his own brains out on his own bedroom wall. Oh, I went to that funeral. As a matter of fact, the next day I saw the father in San Luis Obispo, California on the streets. He saw me one block away. And the streets were crowded and he began to holler, "Oh, Brother Rich, wait a minute, Brother Rich." Here he comes running down the street, takes me by the neck and pulls me clear to the sidewalk and says, "Pray for Leland, pray for Leland, pray for Leland." I shook him and I said, "Mr. Sandy, no use praying for Leland anymore. He's gone. Too close to the fire. We attended that funeral, the saddest ever I've seen. The mother was inoculated and or vaccinated. What do you call it? Given a shot of some kind. Tranquilized. Amen. And carried out feet first. The father got down on his in front of the coffin, butted his head on a hardwood floor till someone finally picked him up and said, God, I'm willing to get in the coffin and let you bury me if you'll bring my son back to life. No, Father, Father, listen, Daddy. You raised him close to the fire. You backslid and went away from God. Now you're looking at the results of the fire that you kindled. Here it is, Daddy. The fire that you kindled. Here it is. You're going to have to make restitution, Dad. Oh, Father, you're going to have to make restitution. That mother was committed to an insane asylum and was still there. The last time I heard, the father disappeared and not only his own father don't even know where he's at. That is a result of the fires of sin. Are you living too close to the fire? If you are, you better run to this altar tonight. You better flee to the highest mountain. You've had that old compromising attitude. Saying Brother Butler's preaching it too straight. Brother Rich is preaching it too hard. Why can't I stay right here in Zohar? Can't you see? It's too close to the fire. Run to the highest mountain. Flee to the highest place of safety. Run with all of your might. Even to a place where you'll be protected by God. Let us stand, please.
I've been watching for His coming. His bride to take her away from this world of strife. Away that city where rapture abides in that land of eternal life.
Children don't want to go where the hunt and hunt for, where your soul will never die. Get ready to join that chorus, sing it forever in the by and by.
I've been watching for His coming. I've been waiting every day. In high dreams, He'll be appearing, appearing to take His children away.
Take it, give it away.